The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, a small cap authority, is Doc Holliday with his instrument.
How are you doing? You all right?
What is that?
A little ukulele.
Can you play it?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit, Justin. Only a little bit.
They're quite hard to play, apparently, aren't they, ukuleles?
No, I think they get little kids at school in the first year of high school to practice on them, because they are actually that easy to play, believe it or not. So I think other than the triangle, then, yeah, the ute's quite easy, to be fair. Unlike the guitar, which is a very different entity.
All right, well, listen, you probably know more about small caps than you do about the ukulele. So what are you looking at, Doc? I know you had a chat with, was it Ed from PXOG?
Yes, mate, I did. Went out, had a bit of lunch with Ed on Friday. Over the last sort of 12 to 14 months, I guess my view on Ed and prospects oil and gas has kind of wavered and changed slightly. I think the company did a fundraise at 3p, came to market, seemed to have a lot of appetite and energy, and that just seemed to really kind of dissipate quickly. The shares have come off dramatically from 3 pence. But having said that, and to give Ed his dues, the company have seemingly done a deal with Hutton Poland. It's a good deal. There's a lot of value to it. It's got a risked and unrisked valuation of, I think it's 8 million to around about 45 million quid. And it's trading in the market at its cash price currently at £2 million market cap. He's raised 1.75 at a penny, had a little bit in the coffers. So you've more or less got 2 million quid with a £2 million market cap. And he's gone and done a deal with Hutton Poland, which has got a CPR, which sort of suggests that the value of the asset is, as I say, somewhere between 8 million and 45, 50 million. I think it's got some crazy number of about 65 million at the best outcome. The target in the equivalent of between about 3,000 to 5,000 barrels of oil a day. They've got quite a sophisticated network of production facilities within Poland. I think most people sort of think, the back in the dark ages or back in the old under the Iron Curtain of old, but it really isn't like that. You know, I've seen some of the kind of setups they've got out there, and it looks to be quite interesting. I don't think there's much downside in prospects oil and gas. I had a very frank and open with Ed when I met with him on Friday, and like I said, I've got to take my hat off, because he took all the criticism on board, and he said I've come back with a deal that I believe is worthwhile, and I could have moved on a variety of other things, perhaps pig-headedness, stubbornness, and whatever else you want to call it has led him into this deal. But he honestly believes that this is going to be game changing for that company. Shares are trading at a penny. Where's the risk?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, I know you've mentioned these for a while and you've been disappointed with the lack of news, but as yet, the market refused to believe this is a... Because it's not moving, is it? It hasn't moved for a while. It's gone up and then come back down, and it's almost like one of the stocks, though, that if it does move, it'll just explode, you feel that, and it's just having patience, I suppose, isn't it? And I paid recently, I was talking to Zach earlier, and I sold SLP, Sylvania Platinum, and I thought, oh, it kept bouncing around, I couldn't be bothered. Before Brexit, I started de-risking lots of stocks, and like today, last and Friday, done really well, and sometimes it's just having patience, isn't it,
Oh, you've got to have patience, but then you've also got to have the kind of confidence in your convictions. And if you're not confident for whatever reason, then the one thing I always say about investing on AIM is, the vast majority of people do lose. If you're not confident, you're better to cut and miss a rise or a loss than to feel completely uncertain and at odds with yourself. You probably had a strategy of, I'll cut pre-Brexit because I don't want to be exposed in the market. That was the right thing to do, because your mindset was in that frame, wasn't it? That's how you wanted to pursue things. you know, you then can't go back and kick yourself afterwards saying, oh, you know, I wish they'd done everything the other way around. Because on that Thursday and Friday, let me tell you, there was nobody more shocked than me in the markets. I'm happy nonetheless because I was a leave voter, but nonetheless, I was very surprised. So, you know, everybody's going to tailor their portfolios around the way they think the market's going to go. You can't beat yourself up about the kind of winners that you miss, and you just try and mitigate loss. You know, insulate yourself against loss. If you can stick around long enough for the wind of good fortune to blow over you, and you don't lose, that's the route to success, I believe.
Okay. Are you looking at anything else, Doc? Taking your fancy?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously spoke to Dave Reeves at Keras. Not a company that I've massively been involved with. I'd watched the share price sort of go all the way up to about 1.7p. And it's a bit like the grand old Duke of York scenario. It's all the way back down again. It's trading at, I think it's spot 80, spot 90 Friday. Picked the phone up, had a pretty quick chat with Dave, put something out on the Vox Markets blog area. It seemed to stimulate the market. They liked it. I think he explained there was one or two points that had been raised regarding the results that the company had put out and some of the terminology they'd used. They put it down to a drafting error. And I think, you know, when you listen to his explanation, it seems pretty straightforward. And the company are in pretty good shape from what I can gather. They've got the target in the 30,000 ounce a year production for mid-2017. The gold price is flying. So companies like this that have taken a bit of a stuffing recently, they're gonna start to balloon up again because the market just seems to be precious metal crazy. You know, silver hit $21 today, gold's $1,350. Big suggestion that's going to go on to $1,500. So, you know, there's a lot of interest around that. And I think, you won't go too far wrong looking at some of these little kind of metal plays that have got that are in production as Keras is. And it's got some pretty decent numbers considering, you know, the kind of business that they're doing. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's open pit mining. I mean, all right, they're targeting going underground, but at the minute, the production comes from open pit. And I think that Kalgoorlie region within Australia is famed for it. You know, some of the biggest open pit gold mines in the world there. So, you know, they're not doing it, you know, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. There's no kind of complex science. It's a little bit different when they start going underground. I guess there's a lot more to consider. But, I mean, at the current state of affairs, they're producing, got a pretty decent target for 2017. Quite a relatively small company that's been bombed out.
Yeah. And I did Dave on quite a few times, and I felt at one point, do you know, I've lost track on this, because at one point he was on the podcast when it was down at 0.4, and he was talking about it bullishly, and I, you know, because I talk to so many people, you can't chase every story. And I missed out, and it had an amazing rise up to sort of, you know, 1.6, and like you say, it's come back a bit, but it's sort of bounced off that 200-day moving average, and it seems now it's, you know, finding some support there, so maybe due for, you know, another climb back up. But yeah, it's a good story, like I say. And it, yeah, you know, and in this time of uncertainty, like I said this morning, gold and silver, they're rallying like crazy, and when these kind of moves happen, they can go on for a long time. They can far exceed where people believe, you know, they should be going. So yeah, always good to have, you know, some gold in your portfolio, isn't it? And anything else? Any other stocks?
You've got Ferrum Crescent have been kind of moving quite aggressively in the markets. It seems that people are warming back up to that one. It sort of bottomed out, I think, at spot 19. Last week it was trading around a range of spot 22 to 27. It kept doing that move. It busted 22, slipped a little bit, seems to be back on the move the right direction. If it gets over 27, you know, it's going to go 30-40. If it holds the 22, maybe it'll slide back into the range it come out of. That looks interesting. A bit of life in Ariane Silver. I pinged an email into Jim Williams, the CEO. He's come back and said been working on their accounts and general meeting and one or two other bits and pieces, getting the company set right. A couple of people have contacted me recently and said you should look at the website. There's been some changes there, which could be suggestive that the long-awaited deal with TNM has been done, or certainly starts to be looking like things are headed in the right direction there. So, again, a little bit of life in that one this morning. Could be suggestive of an uplift on the cards. It's sort of trading at the price he raised cash at. So, there's, again, where's the risk, I guess, with that one? Yeah, there's obviously the markets look quite good. There's a lot going on. Little life seems to be holding its own. I've run a few quotes on that this morning to see what the state of play is. You know, you can now start to sell, you know, a few hundred thousand shares at a relatively good price. Certainly, you know, once upon a time, it was if you wanted to buy and sell this stock, you were paying way over the odds and getting well under the value in the market if you wanted to sell. Now you can sell at a bit of a premium to the price on the bid and the ask, and you know, you still can't buy a great deal. I think they were limited it to about 125,000, 150,000 shares, $3,000 or $4,000. So, you know, that one's doing okay. I quite like that. Obviously, I think it's got massive potential with the team that's there from this current level.
Do you see on, I don't know, we were all involved in a little Twitter sort of talk about life. And I think you mentioned Jim Mellon there, of course, the directors. And he actually liked the tweet, didn't he? So that's, I mean, you know, read into that what you will. But he's not ignoring it, is he? You know, he's keeping his eye on it and keeping an eye on the Twitter chat about life.
I would honestly like to say that I picked up on that, but I honestly I didn't. Unfortunately for me, Jim has blocked me from Twitter. I've got absolutely no idea why. Is it because I've been making a bit of a song and dance about life and, you know, he doesn't want it moving? I really don't know, but I'm actually blocked by Jim Mellon, so
No, someone did. Someone mentioned it. It was a point where the final results came out last week, and of course it doesn't have any material effect on the company. They just state what they're doing at the moment, and you know, the valuation is all this. And I said something like, "Yeah, and this is, you know, if you look at the cash and everything, you know, they're not even valuing the listing here because the listing is worth nothing, is it? Is that what the case?" And someone retweeted that, and then he liked it. And so he obviously sees it, you know. I don't know what that means. It obviously means, yes, you know, this company's valued nothing, really, above cash, you know. So he obviously agreed with that by liking it. But, you know, at least he's acknowledging something there. And anyway, you know, I said it's a slice of melon for what? £1 million. And that's it. You know, which for the fruit is expensive, but for him it's not, is it really? But anyway, lovely Doc, nice to chat to you, and chat soon, fella.
Okay, mate, thanks. Speak soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.